Hello and welcome to Films Like the First Time, the show where we watch movies for the first time. At least one of us.
Yes.
Yes.
Two of us this time.
This week's was Amanda's choice, and she chose the 1985 Ridley Scott picture Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Ridley Scott.
Good old Ridley Scott.
I didn't realize how much I like Ridley Scott. And then also, just my observation, I told this to Amanda earlier, this does not feel like a Ridley Scott movie to me.
Oh, there are
moments, but like, as a whole.
I'll get to the basically the same flaw of every Ridley Scott movie.
is
pacing.
But this feels like the opposite pacing issue for a Ridley Scott movie.
I don't think that to me. But
fair enough.
But also, like I was just saying before, I watched this morning and I have not been feeling great. So
I'm sure you're going to give it a lovely review.
Look, if you didn't like Tim Curry as the Darkness and the aesthetic of the film,
nicer to see his real face.
And like, yeah. No. And then not that there's anything wrong with his real face, but the makeup in this movie was phenomenal.
It was also a little, I'm going to use the word horny, and I'm not using it as horny, but like...
Horn forward?
Yeah, like those horns were massive.
Yeah, I know. That was part of the badassness of it.
It was very clear Darkness was compensating for something with those horns.
I mean...
And it wasn't just horns.
It was. It's not all that different than Hellboy's horns.
And chin.
Yeah.
No, Hellboy's horns are probably half that size.
They're pretty big when he's not shaving them off.
It's in diameter?
But they're way longer.
Yeah, but they're not so like...
His also head is bigger in general.
Yes.
So, that's fair.
So it's like scale-wise compared to the rest of his...
I have a feeling Ridley Scott was going for like an actual bull look with those horns.
Sure.
He was a man-tar.
Nick, you're man-tar. Reading... The look on your face right now is just... What's wrong with
Weirdly,
you?
Weirdly, I think we see that face throughout the movie.
Look, you guys didn't like The Last Unicorn, and all I'm going to say is, if you didn't like this film, you're wrong. Just straight up, okay. You're wrong.
You're defending without knowing.
Yeah, we haven't even said anything yet about the
We
film
haven't
as a whole.
Even said anything yet. Anyway, continue.
I don't know what Dave thinks about the movie.
Let's begin.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. Pinocchio is walking through the forest. Castle Grayskull, where a disembodied voice does a monologue from generic ominous diatribes for actors auditioning for no one.
I mean, that was Aww. Tim Curry, but okay.
I know, but there's no one in the room and he's just talking.
Yeah, that happened again later a bit. And I'm like...
He's a little bit of a drama queen. I'm just going to say.
Yeah. I'm also trying to figure out, and this is part of my actual issue with this movie, is... The lore isn't deep enough.
It also seems to change with the wind a little bit.
Well, and so, like, Darkness, like, they portray Darkness as this ultimate being, but then it seems like he's trying to answer to somebody, and I don't know who he's supposed to be answering to.
The script in this is not the best written.
Yeah.
Again, I watched this as a little kid. As a kid, I think I missed all of that. As an adult, I'm like, yeah, this is very abbreviated script. But the visuals are still chef's kiss. Fucking love it.
I think that Darkness
even
is just...
Even his big horns. I love Tim Curry's makeup.
In this opening when we first see him and he's like cosmic bowling. There's like black light on him or something.
I think he's insecure.
Glowing green.
For whatever reason, seems to be insecure.
I think he's lonely.
Why? He's got goblins.
We'll get to that. Yeah, he's got goblins.
Who wants goblins?
I do. Those goblins were awesome.
I don't know.
Well, I've already got a goblin, and they're you two, and I'd rather have something else.
Especially weird, like mascot goblin guy. That guy was cool.
So Pinocchio is actually Blix, a demon who gets roasted upon arrival. He just walks in, and Darkness is like, "Oh, don't you have the blackest heart, you little piece of crap?"
I don't think that was roasting him. That was complimenting him.
I know, but
me how black your heart is.
I know, but it was funny, is what I mean. Like,
Like,
look, Dave, he's evil, okay?
I know.
We need you to know he's evil.
I didn't dislike it from the fun torture vignette as we were getting up to darkness there. Like, somebody was getting tortured, like, they were getting chopped or something on the table.
And we see that a little more blatantly.
Oh, yeah,
later.
The weird, like, pig-faced man. He's down there eating everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why he's got a pig face.
So Blix has the chance to go from a mere Renfield to a prince if he just finds some horns. Which we don't know what he's talking about at first. But, or, you know, find powerful whatever.
We knew from the scroll at the beginning of the movie, the
unicorns existed, the unicorns. Beings of light.
Did you not see the scroll?
It wasn't on my,
A whole intro, very Lord of the Rings style, where they read, like, the lore of
it
the
did,
realm.
Okay.
And the unicorns are the ones that caused the
light
to
happen.
I had to
go to a strange source for this,
I just went to the strange source that Nick sent me. I don't know where that link came from, but without...
It just kind of, for me, it just started right in the woods.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Well, okay, so there... Yeah, there's a whole little beginning part to explain how things work in this universe for our fair viewers.
Yeah, just like the beginning of Spaceballs.
Unicorns are the most pure thing. They are the bringers of light. Darkness is the... leader of darkness.
Frankly, I didn't need it.
And without one, the other cannot exist. Without darkness, there is no light.
Well, see, now I'm glad I didn't have that because that would have just been like, okay, I get it.
This movie is for children.
What children?
The 80s children.
To be fair, this is very much a... like, it fits right in with the labyrinth and Dark Crystal of it all.
It very much does, and those were all favorites. And Return to Oz, like, all those dark,
so,
weird
to me, this
movies.
Movie
Return
actually,
to Oz is still fucked up.
Fucking great. I loved Return to Oz. to me, it's like, it's a combination of, like, labyrinth, but also, strangely, Conan the Barbarian in some ways.
I can see that.
Because Tom Cruise was very bad.
Tom Cruise is always very bad.
I'm not that guy.
Tom Cruise is my Kurt Russell.
and look, I'm not even saying that I think Kurt Russell's a bad actor. I just think he's the same guy in everything.
I am saying Tom Cruise is a bad actor.
I'm just saying he only knows how to play Kurt Russell. And
now, there are Tom Cruise movies that I have enjoyed. I'm not going to say I haven't enjoyed any of Tom Cruise's movies. I just don't think he's a good actor. And I'm not excited when I see him.
I think they take your man card if you didn't enjoy Maverick.
I didn't see it because I don't care.
Maverick was fine.
I think they take your man card. Every dude that I've talked to has loved Top Gun,
the whole thing.
Top Gun's fine. Days of Thunder, I enjoy Days of Thunder.
That sucks.
You suck.
I liked Interview with the Vampire. That's probably my favorite Tom Cruise movie. And Anne Rice almost revolted when they cast him. And now she was like, you know what? He did a pretty good job.
Yeah, once they handed her a bunch of cash.
No, she would have said if she didn't like it. She's always had money. I mean, she's rest in peace. But yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she died passed a few years ago.
Well, that's not what we're talking about.
No, it's not.
Well, suddenly it's morning. And Blix is already in the forest. I don't know how much time has passed here. But
this was so, like, creepy Peeping Tom feeling.
Yeah, like, it was almost, like, it's like they got a notice from some local, and they're like, hey, there's an attractive young woman frolicking in the forest. Exactly at this point, go there and hang out.
Well, they knew that an innocent is how you can find a unicorn, so...
Yeah.
Which,
as it turns out, she's no innocent.
Yeah, that was...
Even as a kid watching this, I was so mad at her.
Well, but also, like...
And so mad at Tom Cruise's character, because he knew what could happen, and his effort to stop her was, don't!
Yeah, but even before that...
And that was it.
We all agree, they're fucking, right?
No.
Like, when he lays her down in the grass and they're kissing and stuff, like, they're about to fuck.
I don't know.
I
never thought about
that. I read
it
that way. Maybe I'm just insane. But that's the way I read it.
I mean, they're adults. They can do what they want.
I know, but the idea
that are the betrothed. Innocence.
Well, they're not betrothed. She threw the ring in the water and goes, whoever finds the ring.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely not betrothed. I'm pretty sure her father, the king, is going to be like, no, not this ragamuffin.
Also, does he think he's a monkey in this movie?
He's honestly a child of the forest, is what they call it.
I honestly thought that he was like
George of the Jungle,
Tarzan, or something.
Yeah, like it was like every time he's like just legs way out and like squat down. It was a very interesting choice.
But anyway,
this is one of those things that, like you said, like it. We've all agreed that it does feel very abbreviated, and we don't get a lot of character building or world building. Like it's a. Beautiful visuals.
Jesus, like you read my final
but,
notes.
But yeah, there's not a lot of character or world building in it. And I had forgotten how little there was until rewatching this as an adult. Yeah. I still very much enjoyed it. But
so Blix is with the confounding pig boy. And they're stalking Princess Lily, played by the alluring but presumably legal, not to mention debuting, Mia Sara.
Very different role for her than what I know her from. So
Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller or Time Cop, or she was the original live action Harley Quinn.
Was she really?
Was she? Huh.
She was in Birds of Prey, the TV show.
Oh, did not know that.
That was the last time I saw her, and that was like early 2000s.
Fair enough.
Lily pulls a prank on some older woman who thinks it was Ferris, and I think she even says Ferris. So that was weird.
That
right
was
off the bat.
A strange prank. It, like,
I don't understand the point of the prank.
To dirty
other than
clean
just be a
sheets?
Bitch.
Yeah.
Because obviously you like this person.
Well, then she never owns up to the prank either.
And they don't even. Yeah, exactly. Nell doesn't even know something happened.
Well, to be fair, Nell's not too smart. Because, like, Nell's has the prank happen, and then minutes later, there's Lily in the house. And she's like, oh, Lily, it's so great to see you. Like, can you not put two and two together?
Well, she also doesn't care that this young woman who is a princess and obviously of means is just stealing her damn food.
They're friends. Also, if Lily really is a princess, I'm just going to go out on a limb without world building and say, You let the princess do whatever she wants.
And because she's royalty, she is naturally entitled to other people's stuff.
Yes.
Also, that clock in Nell's house is fucked up.
It's very strange looking.
Like death chasing a young girl.
Yeah. And that's
foreshadowing.
Where she gets that little vision of snow.
Paul Bettany? Vision of snow, yes.
But Nell, who thinks of Lily like a daughter, thinks she should find a guy with a white Dodge Charger, act like a princess, and stop stealing her food.
A white Dodge Charger?
She says something about a white Charger.
Oh.
I was not paying close enough attention to that part, apparently, because I don't know what you're talking
Lily
about.
Lily just wants to find some magic. Don't we all?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, it's magic.
Then we meet Peter Pan, Tom Cruise, Jack, who acts all creepy right away.
Mr. Peepers.
Yeah, why is everybody in the forest just acting bizarre?
Like, because it's a fantasy.
Everybody in this whole movie is acting bizarre.
I think that's literally when people ask Ridley Scott, why am I doing this? He's probably like, it's fantasy.
That's.
I think so, too. I think this is just Ridley Scott's attempt at fantasy. That's why there was so much glitter.
At being David Lynch.
I actually feel like Ridley Scott probably wanted to do something more, and this feels like the studio was like, we're cutting half of the movie.
That could have happened.
He was having a lot of issues making stuff around this period.
Why?
I don't, like, just...
Well, did Blade... I don't know the commercial history of Blade Runner. Did Blade Runner bomb at the box office?
Yes.
So that's probably why.
And then he was supposed to do Dune... And
that would have been a different Dune for sure.
Yeah. Wait, who's... Oh, yeah, it's the other guy now.
Yeah. What's... I can't remember his name now.
The guy who did Arrival.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Mm.
But he brings Lily to the Shire, where, behold, a pair of pale horse. A
couple of horses with horns glued to their heads.
More fucking unicorns. More actors singing.
Those horses looked pissed off. I'm not going to lie. They looked mad that they had horns stuck to their heads. They were like, what the fuck is this on my head?
Amanda only likes one kind of movie, apparently.
Yes, 8-year-old me liked one kind of movie.
So yeah, we get the whole thing where, of course, Lily is a self-entitled, you know, my secret or my super sweet 16 type, who just does whatever she wants and doesn't care about anything. She gets this nice treat of seeing the two unicorns, and that's not enough. I gotta get closer, closer, closer. And at first, I'm like, oh, is she gonna tame these dudes with a song?
Right, like, is she the unicorn whisperer?
Yeah. And then Robert Redford showed up, and people got bored. Well, that's just because of Robert Redford.
Fair enough.
Yeah, all of a sudden they start freaking out. And to be fair, it's not like, I still don't think that she freaks them out. I think they are freaked out because they know those goblins are in the...
And the goblins and shoot horses, don't they?
They shoot them with little trank darts.
Full well, I don't know if the unicorns knew enough to be scared, because they comment on their thoughts are only like kindness and light. So if you can only think of beautiful things, I don't think you know enough to be afraid. I think the horses are just being horses.
Well, then that's dumb. Like, what kind of self-preservation is that? Like, no wonder there's only two of them.
Goodness.
And of course, well, okay,
are they sterile?
No.
But they also say
because darkness does say, like, when they're like, oh, well, the female's still alive, no big deal. And he's like, what power could she have? And he says, creation!
I didn't take it that literally.
Wow.
I mean, I do think it's odd that if there's only one of them, how could they reproduce them?
Yeah, if they've been around that long, if they've been around that long and there's still only two of them, then I think somebody's got something not working on the inside. That's all I'm saying. Yeah,
how do you know there's only two of them?
Because after the one goes down, they're like the last unicorn dies tonight.
I was going to make a point, and then I forgot what it was. Having to do with their thoughts only being happy, and you were like, that's stupid. Oh, because only, like, Jack knows where they are, but, like, only innocents or whatever can find them. So, like, in theory, the goblins and stuff wouldn't have been ever able to find them on their own. They had to follow Jack and Lily.
No, I understood why they were following her to get to the unicorns.
But that's the self-preservation part that goes with it, is, like, they're really, really hard to find.
I suppose that's true, though. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. So Blix does trank one of the unicorns because Lily is a selfish, entitled brat. Jack jumps off a cliff just to get away from her.
Well, it was to get the ring.
Well,
I like how
it is, but also, man, that thing's shallow, and like, there's no reason. Like, he should have had a broken neck.
Well, is Jack okay? Is Jack an elf? Like, all the elves or whatever they called themselves in this movie were all different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had the little shirtless boy. You had
that was the Gump.
Gump.
That's little boy. The Gump. Little boy loincloth.
Right, then we had the kind of more, like, gnomey ones.
Yeah.
And then you had not Tinkerbell.
Yeah. A fairy.
Una.
Yeah, I don't think they're not all the same species.
Well, but they kind of seemed like they were. So is he, like, another forest spirit, though, or is he a person?
He's a child of the forest.
I think he was an orphan left in a basket in a tree.
Okay.
And raised by...
I don't know.
Fireflies or some damn thing.
Game of Thrones has children of the forest. Maybe he's one of those.
But they explain their children of the forest a little bit.
They also have 8 seasons to do it, and look what they did with the last couple seasons. So
fair enough.
At least they got the children of the forest.
But like, as soon as she touches the unicorn, he's like, okay, I'm done, and turns away and walks away. But then when she's like, oh, whoever gets the ring will marry me, he dives right in right after that. So like, which is it, dude? Are you dumping her or are you not?
Well, obviously, that was a vindictive test on her part.
It was. It was real shitty.
Which is, again, why she's not a real innocent.
Also, did you see the ring hat was half white and half black when she threw it in?
Yeah, I saw that the color does altar later on.
Mm-hmm.
The goblins take the unicorn horn and happen to go into Nell's house right after, where Lily is hiding.
Why?
Because no one else lives in this area.
This is also when the bubbles first started to appear in this movie.
There's a lot of just shit flying around in the air at all times.
I don't know. I don't know what the significance of the bubbles were, because they seemed very arbitrary.
Right. And of course, as soon as they cut the unicorn horn off, it starts snowing.
Mm-hmm. It just immediately becomes winter. Like,
full on blizzard, Antarctica level kind of cold.
So Lily's vision comes true. Everything is ice.
Including Nell.
Jack having to punch his way through the ice at the in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is sort of weird. Like,
it very much, Day After Tomorrowed, where it just
where somehow it freezes Nell and whoever, but not Lily, who just has,
because she's so warmly dressed.
Yeah. Also, like,
and Nell's husband, presumably, that dude hasn't moved in forever, so we don't even know if he was alive when he was in there.
When the crew comes across the dead unicorn, it's very like, it looked, reminded me of Hoth, and I'm just
and they were gonna cut it open and climb inside.
I literally put in my notes unicorn corpse, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside. Also, getting the unicorn horn immediately went to that guy's head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like, I got a unicorn horn. Zap, 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 zap.
Oh, well, while they're
why wouldn't it?
While they're in Nell's house, Blick shows that he has got some, telepathy, which sucks. Because all he can do is push a chair, a couple inches.
Mm-hmm.
And that never really comes into play ever again.
Can I mention something that I noticed at about this point in the movie, and that was the score of it? And it feels like Wild Stallions scored this movie.
It wasn't nearly that bad. Honestly, the score
felt pretty simple to me. But it didn't bother me.
The music in this movie is almost I don't even notice.
It was so simple.
I didn't really notice anything about it.
It literally made me think of when they go to the future and they're playing the future Wild Stallions music in Bill and Ted.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, but it's just that's the tone I noticed.
I thought you were saying Wild Stallions, the band that can't play two notes.
No.
Yeah, right?
Future Wild Stallions.
Okay. Yeah, the future stuff was kind of cool.
But yeah, it had that weird synthy vibe to it.
I mean, it's the 1985.
80s. It is very 1980s.
I don't even know who did the music for this.
Tangerine Dream.
Oh, that's right. I mean, it wasn't... It didn't take away from anything.
Yeah, no. I wasn't saying that as, to be mean. I'm just saying it was something I noticed.
At that point, I was 30 minutes in and wanting to do anything else. But again, I was not feeling well. And, I felt like, this is how I'm spending my time. Fuck. But that goes away fairly quickly, because this next scene is bonkers.
Which scene is this next one?
We meet little boy Loincloth.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows everything except the first question he's asked. That was a bit of a let. This scene felt like David Lynch, in the fact that it was fucking just nothing, a series of bizarre things that happened.
It was very weird. The thing I noticed was that immediately Tom Cruise was being outacted by a child. So there was that.
That kid had some Children of the Corn vibe.
Yeah.
He actually reminded me very much of the little kid from Children of the
Corn.
Yeah. He might be the same actor.
Yeah, he might have been.
Of the kid from The Road Warrior. The psych, the crazy kid that throws the boomerang.
Oh.
Well, that little kid was blonde, so.
Yeah, well, not visually, just attitude and.
Sure.
Sure.
But yeah, I wrote, this scene is so bizarre that I'm on board.
We also get the reveal of Una's true form during the scene at some point, right?
Not until later.
Why is my note right there then?
I don't know. Because you're wrong.
My note about Una was just, Una's got some crazy ass eyes.
But yeah, based on. Who are they?
Because Gump tells Una, like, lead him to where he needs to go. So Jack and Una take right. off on their own. And it's later, once they're in the underworld, that...
Well, I knew it was off to the side at some point.
She zips in, and he's like, what the... She's like, don't tell. Nobody knows.
So since a champion is needed, and Jack seems to be the only full-size person available, and male, of course, some fireflies show him some gold fucking plated chainmail.
Dude.
I think...
Which is pretty badass.
So
it's like national treasure in that cave.
I think that the way that was... Was the lighting more than anything? Because later he's in the chainmail and it's just normal looking chainmail. Yeah,
that was really disappointing.
So I think it might have just been the lighting in there. I don't know.
I agree, because I didn't write that in here, but as I noticed later, I'm like, oh, this is just
really... There were very conscious decisions made with the lighting in this.
Oh, very, very conscious choices. Can we just talk about the fact that he used the sword that he got like once and like never was struck in the chainmail at all in the movie?
It's a kid's Look, movie.
He's not a fighter.
That he's a lover, not a fighter.
Well, he hasn't proven either at this point. So.
Well, it depends on your interpretation of earlier.
Mia Sara loves him. Lily loves him.
Yeah, Una's got a thing
Una
for
loves
him.
Well, Lily won't, of course, tell him that until later on because she gets off on withholding.
Mm. Yeah, he's got some toxic relationships with women in this movie.
Which is probably best that he doesn't, well, that he's a child of the forest. Who knows what mother issues he must have.
Yeah, sweet summer's child.
Let's see here. Yeah, getting to that part about now you were talking, the littlest goblin steps to darkness. Like, God, my horn now. Nah, what are you going to do, darkness?
He becomes Cartman.
And then Darkness decides, oh, yeah? Well, here's a mummy.
What? A mummy out of nowhere?
And he's going to take the nasty plunge with you right now. And I'm like, are they jumping into fucking hell or something?
The best is he says, like, he goes, adios, amigos.
I'm like, this is great. Like, also, I don't know what this is.
I don't know. I didn't look this up because I forgot. But... The pig goblin, his voice sounds like the voice of the oldest gummy bear from Gummy Bears.
All right,
I mean, it might be.
It might be.
Well, Jesus, like the cartoon?
Yeah, you know, gummy bears.
Yeah, I remember.
Here and there and everywhere.
Wow, that's actually pretty. Well, I say impressive because
the song's a banger.
No, not the song. I mean, just the fact that you would remember what'd you say, the oldest gummy bear?
Not the big one, but the old one. Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure. You know what?
It could be a different person, it just sounds like it.
If it would have been voiced by one of the Transformers actors or something, I probably would have gotten it. Because I know a Frank Welker from a mile away.
Fair enough.
I think he was, I think he did some voice work for our last film.
I can see that. A lot of voice work on our last film. So.
That's true. There's a lot. So yeah, just to sum up that, this ruled. Because I'm like, just a random mummy, and I really took it as like, oh, he just jumped into oblivion.
Fair enough.
And I'm like, that's one way to dispatch your anyone who might try to usurp you.
Yeah.
Caesar had such a method. The Crypt Keeper shows up and finds Jack to be a fine fat boy.
Oh, boy.
Some of the dialogue is hilarious. Pretty sure I heard Screwball call Gump a foreigner.
Wait, when you see the Crypt Keeper, are you talking about old Greg?
I'm talking... Greg?
In the swamp?
That would be Meg.
No, old Greg. You don't know old Greg?
Greg the Bunny?
You'll have to look up old Greg. The witch thing looked exactly like the witches from another terrifying 80s kids movie, Witches.
It also, when we saw the swamp,
that's exactly what that reminded me of.
I think it's 90s.
Isn't this where Artax died?
Oh. All my childhood traumas in one movie.
Right. And then he kills, this is the only time he uses a sword, he kills old Greg.
Well, now I want to know when Witches came out.
I think it's 90.
We'll find out. Keep talking.
All right. Meanwhile, Nick could have been looking up the voice of the gummy bear.
I'm just too into these weird-ass notes from this movie.
When Screwball has to, like, cross the swamp or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he gets pissed and calls Gump a foreigner.
I mean, maybe he does. Maybe Gump's not from the same part of the forest.
I just find it a weird term, like, for the fact that we've seen like 2 square miles of this entire universe.
Yeah, the closeness of everything is very interesting.
Like, you throw a rock into the next scene. You may as well be following bikini babes into the next scene.
Oh man, we get a shot somewhere in this too of the surviving unicorn that's been captured, and it's just got way too much eyeliner on.
So you're right, Dave. The Witches came out with Angelica Houston came out in 1990.
Woo yeah!
So yes, 90s, but barely.
Barely.
So, I was 10.
So the littlest goblin who I don't get a lot of the names in this. So I think somebody called him Buckethead, and I'm going with it.
Oh, because he had the bucket head.
And I didn't write it down, but I tried to like make a mental note of all of their names because I'm like, we're going to be talking about these little dudes, and I'm not going to know any of their names.
I still don't know who Pig Boy is.
Real quick, before we get too far, we also missed the Irish good guy. I don't know his name, but
Seamus.
Was it Seamus?
I don't know.
Is that the same actor from Twin Peaks?
I don't know, but he was getting arrow shot at him, and he was like dodging them, and then he gets hit right in the friggin' forehead.
No, that's
Are you talking about the guy with the cage? No,
I was going back because we missed this. He got shot in the head, and then they find him, and he's like, they got me right in the brain. It's like, well, luckily there's nothing there.
Yeah. And
I forgot about
and
that.
And weirdly, it splits some. It's like he was walking around with a cow kidney on his head or something. Like, what is that?
No. Yes. The Buckethead might be the guy from Twin Peaks.
Nah.
He looks familiar.
Oh, yeah.
I think he is. I think he's the guy.
Well, that would be Michael J. Anderson.
He's shown up. What else did he show up in that we reviewed?
Mulholland Drive.
Mulholland Drive. Oh my God. That makes sense.
Is this our first repeat actor?
Good God. It is.
Holy shit. Episode 10.
Michael J. Anderson.
10 episodes
in. Let's verify.
Okay.
Because
I already have IMDb. Because
I didn't, it didn't dawn on me, weirdly.
10 episodes in, and this is going to be
Because I kept thinking, I'm like, that dude looks familiar.
Yeah.
But he was also like, I don't know.
Every time I type in legend, this 2015 Tom Hardy movie pops up that I've never heard of.
Same.
It turns out Buckethead isn't dead after all, negating the awesomeness from earlier.
And it turns out he's like family or something?
Yeah.
But they don't really explain that.
No. Well,
they're just like, oh, it's you. It's me.
I gotta say, the fact that like this whole barbecue thing going on.
Barbecue!
Is pretty unsettling. I gotta say. Like, and it's weird because, like, that dude in the back isn't really chopping the guy, the person on the table. He's just whacking him. Like, it's an axe of some kind, but it's not cutting. Right. He's just, like, beating he's tenderizing his meat.
Well, it's a PG movie, so they didn't want to show actual, like,
I know,
cutting.
But they could have just gone shadow.
Yeah.
And some spurt.
And then we get Una extorting everybody else. Like, oh, I'll save you if you give me a kiss.
She has self-worth issues.
I mean, like, she totally tries to catfish him.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, mystically catfishing somebody.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, she does, but not because she straight up tells him. She's like, I can look like whatever you want. I can look like her. I can look like your heart's desire.
Yeah,
and
that's weird.
And then she does it. And then he's all like, no. It's not how human hearts work.
Who was it that said? I wrote this line down
because he's
it caught me, but I don't remember who said it now. It's somebody said, "Sweeter than bee pollen on a summer wind." Mm-hmm. And I just was like, that just sounds like a sneeze, like sneeze weather to me. Bee pollen. On
There's a lot of very strange, like the goblins are got some really strange rhymes. Something about sweet, but not as sweet as dead meat or something like that.
I was like, what? They did say that.
That's disgusting.
Rotted meat.
Rotted,
I wonder how much improvisation happened in this movie.
Either not enough or way too much. Because, well, that's what I mean. Some of the dialogue is just hilarious.
So was he in both?
No, this is Kieran Shaw.
Oh, okay. I can see the resemblance.
He's been in a bunch of Star Wars stuff.
Oh, we haven't done any Andor,
Star Wars Episode 9, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Episode 8. He was in Doctor Who, Rogue One, Game of Thrones,
He's
The Hobbit. So he's been in a bunch of stuff.
So I wonder how old is he? Because, like, you named a whole lot of recent stuff.
Born September 28th, 1956.
He's probably, and this is because of his size.
He's in a lot of fantasy stuff.
It's like a Warwick Davis kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
but he's got a lucrative career. He's been in a lot of stuff.
He did look familiar, so that's not surprising. Yeah.
Well, there's no Vern Troyer anymore, and Warwick Davis can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And Michael J. Anderson doesn't want to do anything.
Actually, I think
anymore.
Warwick Davis could do everything.
Michael J. Anderson was the other guy?
I think so.
If you know who that is, so.
Well, I'm saying I think I know. So still no. Still no repeat actors.
Somehow.
Especially in all these 80s movies. Like, no one.
Unless we're wrong. Like, if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, no, this movie had this person in it that also was in this movie.
I'm very good at that game.
Yeah.
So I think I would know.
It would almost have to be a voice actor or something.
Or some cameo or something that we missed. Like, somehow.
Yes, Michael J. Anderson was in Mulholland Drive.
Yeah. You are correct. Well, somehow, like, Jeff Daniels showed up in, he's like the voice of, I don't know, something in The Last Unicorn or something.
I mean, we got close. Jeff Bridges, Jeff Daniels.
That is, they don't look that dissimilar either.
They also have similar voices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their cadence is different, but their tone.
That's true. Like, because that young Jeff Bridges sounds more like Jeff Daniels than he does sound like current Jeff Bridges.
Right.
Michael J. Anderson was born at 10:30 p.m. on Halloween night.
Nice.
Fun fact?
That is a fun fact.
All right. I put the IMDb down.
So we get this other conversation of darkness and no one.
Yeah, well, and I was like, what did I miss? Unicorns weren't enough? Now darkness needs a girlfriend?
The man likes monologuing, and I think he's literally just talking to whomever is listening.
No one!
As someone that talks to myself a lot when I'm home alone, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I talk to myself a lot too, but not like that.
Well, y'all are doing it wrong then.
I don't.
Sometimes I need to monologue as a queen of my own domain here in my house at home.
I would never think to project such grandiosity upon myself that I would need to make such declarations.
You don't have massive horns on your head.
That's true. Well. I guess I don't have a lot to live up to.
Look, Tim Curry as the Master of Darkness is a lot to live up
to. Well, we're finally getting to when the movie really starts to get good, when we see him.
Yes.
Because even though with that makeup, which is very heavy.
It is. It's probably, to me, it's too much.
Because he's got very, there's a guy who's very expression.
Yeah, he's got a great face.
And it loses a little bit. You still get it, but he's got such a charm to him that to have that much, and somebody's farting.
Motorcycle outside. Motorcycle.
Look, all I know.
And somebody else is wandering in the background here.
All I know is this, like, when we get to this point in the movie, watching this as a little girl, and like, this was my goth girl awakening, because I was like, I want that dress. I want that jewelry. I want that fireplace. So, that thing is amazing. And why does she not want to sit down and have dinner and talk to him? Because I want to talk to him.
I was like, take that. Literally, I put, well, shit, take that necklace. The dress, well, dancing by itself. Well, was a cool thing.
I loved that dress. I liked that. I loved her makeup.
The whole thing was a deep V-neck.
Beautiful.
She obviously has no problem with stealing things that aren't hers. So.
That's true.
whether it's a cookie or...
She did get a little hot and bothered over that necklace. That was kind of funny. She's like,
the necklace was cool as fuck.
I got a little hot and bothered.
I would have taken the necklace.
And that's a princess being like, whoa.
Yeah. we get this line from Darkness. I think she says, I'm not an animal or something when Darkness is talking to her. And this is my favorite line from the movie. He just turns to her and she goes, we are all animals, my lady. And I'm like, that's a good line.
And now as an adult watching this and seeing the refilling wine glass, like everything, I want to hang out with Darkness.
But I don't want to drink that wine. That wine looked gross.
Well, you want a wine glass that size, though, because it's bigger than her.
Yeah, that food. I didn't remember the food as a kid. Like, I thought it was a big, like, luxurious spread. And I'm like, yeah, that food looks like it's been there a while.
Something tells me Darkness doesn't eat.
I'd be like, hey, babe, like, we can have all black things, but can they be human edible, please?
Can it taste good?
Yeah, I like food. I like...
Well, one thing is, you know, you can have edible, but I like can't flesh, promise tasting
but I
good.
Like it fresh and cooked well.
So there is a dance number out of nowhere with her and Darkness.
Dress. Oh, yeah.
It looks like the video from Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I don't know the video either.
Oh, great song.
It's good. Well, actually, it's one of those fun videos where they sort of Rocky Horror'd it.
Okay.
Where what were they called? Literal videos. So somebody singing the song is explaining what is happening in the video, but they're doing it to the original music. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite amusing. But again, there's mention of the last unicorn. It did show die tonight.
Can we just talk about how dumb Darkness is?
Is it dumb?
Yes, because she sits there and fights him about all of it. And then she's like, oh, I'll kill a unicorn. And he's like, oh, great.
That was a pretty eerie read from her, too.
Yeah.
Like, that was the best bit of acting from her the entire movie.
Oh, for sure.
Darkness likes a challenge. Also, I think he's just been surrounded by yes people so long that, like, her turning was not...
But it was so like, oh, yeah, I'll take that at face value. No problem.
I thought the same thing. The same thing happened earlier when we meet the Gump, and then Jack is like, oh, I showed her the unicorns. And the Gump's like, what? Why would you do that, you stupid idiot? I did it for love. Oh, well, if you did it for love, it's fine then.
So well, no, he made him. He made him. He made him pass the test.
So we're saying she has a type, which is morons.
Easily manipulated.
Wait a minute. You said you'll stay, but only if you get to kill
Stop
the
it.
Unicorn.
No, none of that. Out of my house.
Ugh. Can we? Did we all know that they were going to use the plates as reflectors? Like, I knew immediately. I was
I've seen it before, but also...
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
Having not remembered that that's how they defeated the Darkness, I knew. As a kid, I'm sure I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm watching it. As soon as I saw the first plate, I'm like, oh, they're going to reflect the lights through, and...
Well, yeah, I put Jack's plan as simple, as is he, but it is logical.
Yeah.
And then Frisbee!
Frisbee.
I do remember watching this, though, and being like, they're throwing those plates like they weigh nothing. Those things are probably like 50 pounds each. Those big serving trays is what they were.
Maybe those dudes, like, their center of gravity is such where they're pretty strong. And
maybe.
Yeah. They've got core strength.
Those big,
because it happens to be in their neck, too.
Big.
I also, this is a trope that I've seen a lot in, like, kids' movies, animated movies, stuff that I never really realized bothered me until now, where they have to rescue the one little dude from the pie.
And the birds came out?
But he's whole.
Yes.
Alive.
Yep. They didn't chop him up.
Fully clothed with live feathered birds in the pie with no sauce or anything. And I'm
no
like,
sauce.
That's the whole thing. It's going to be dry. It's going to be a
but
dry
I'm
pie.
Like,
well, it
nobody
hurts.
Cooks like that. Like,
yeah,
they would
I had that
at least
thought too.
Skin him or undress him. They wouldn't just throw it in there live. Like, that wouldn't taste good. I don't know. That's
little
a trope
boy,
that bothers me.
Little boy loincloth.
Anyway,
little boy loincloth, you wouldn't even have to undress him too much, because he's already walking around and just
there you go. It. But still, you gotta clean your meat.
I don't see, but
that's not a euphemism.
See, but
in all aspects, you got to clean your meat.
You already said that their spread looked pretty disgusting. So
yeah,
chances are they don't take very good care with their food. I mean, they can't even cut the meat. He's whacking them with the thing.
But the man, the thing, the demon, took time to make a pie crust.
That's the hardest part.
That is the hardest part. The hardest part. So why wouldn't he at least...
He's lazy, ultimately.
Dude, didn't want to do mise en place.
The ingredients and throw some onions and carrots in there. Which I guess there could have been onions and carrots in there. We just didn't see.
But they
were
probably whole, not chopped.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. It's and unwashed.
It's definitely unwashed. Not going to cook evenly.
No.
So yeah, that is a thing that I've seen in a lot of, like, especially older fantasy stuff, a lot of animated stuff, and I never realized it was a trope that I hated until now.
That's a fair trope to hate, because I was annoyed by it as well. We get this weird fight scene between Tom Cruise.
Oh, by the way, can we say that she was, that this was the original Mia Goth?
Sure.
You know,
play on words there. I know who Mia Goth is. I still haven't seen that movie.
She is in the remake of Suspiria too.
I liked the remake of Suspiria.
Yeah, that's good.
This fight scene was unhinged. like you got the Iron Claw happening in it at one point. You got Tom Cruise's jumping is like real weird.
He did the front flip into the fray.
I'm like, did he do his own stunts for this movie too?
Also, oh wait,
we
skipped the fact that that darkness offers her a rose and thereby creates the bachelor.
I missed that part.
Yeah, he said, "Will you take this rose?" I believe. And
I missed that part too.
And she's like, whatever. I gotta kill this unicorn. Like,
dude, he backhanded her so hard after she frees the unicorn. Like, just smack. It was hard.
Take that, Deep V.
People. People always talk about, like, when I say people, I mean women, and a lot of the girlies, I just said the word girlies, oh god, unironically. I've been all on TikTok girlies. Way too much. A lot of the women on the book talk section of TikTok always talk about, like, my obsession with toxic men started, and they'll bring up, it's usually a vampire or something that they read in a book as a kid.
Yeah,
mine started with darkness.
Here's my thing. I don't understand, other than the fact
that... Because, clearly he's abusive and toxic, but also I would sit and have dinner with him.
He's ugly as sin, except
but
for the fact
not.
That he's... Yeah, no, he's fucking ugly.
He's not.
Like, that weird-ass chin and nose and
you
all that.
You are wrong.
And, like, fingernails that are, like, 6 inches long.
Yeah, he's got...
Like, he's not
got,
well put
he's
together.
He's got coke scoop fingernails,
just
because
he's ripped
sake.
Doesn't mean he looks good.
Do you not understand why the Beast and the Beauty and the Beast is more attractive
no,
than the Prince?
No, because he's got great hair. Like, that shit's been conditioned
it's,
perfectly.
It's the yeah. same
it's
concept.
It's a coif that is... Wonderful.
It is not the same.
It is definitely not the same. Darkness is a fucking ugly dude.
And he's got, like...
He's got Tim Curry's personality.
If this was a term that people use for guys, he'd be a butterface.
He's got hooves, though.
You're both wrong.
He does have hooves. And he doesn't clip his nails.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm not talking about sexual encounters with darkness. I'm just talking about being around him. It's a different
kind
of...
Well, I haven't been around him. I can't know.
Just be
it's
around
a different
Tim Curry.
Kind of presence.
I'll be around Tim Curry now.
I was actually thinking about this the other day, about the... Does anyone else and the whatever amount of listeners, the three that we may have, feel free to message us and let us know. Has anyone else ever experienced being attracted to someone while not... being sexually attracted to someone.
Yes,
like, sure. I am so attracted to you, I don't want to sleep with you, but I am so attracted to you.
And vice versa.
That is how I feel about darkness.
Okay. But you've also said that this movie is was your sexual awakening.
It was.
So it's why...
As a little kid, though, I was not like, I want to fuck darkness, but I was just like, I am very attracted to these things. They make me... feel a little tingly, like this. I like
email
this.
Us if your thoughts when you saw this movie were, I want to fuck darkness, because I really want to figure that out.
I do know that darkness does.
Anne Rice would want to fuck darkness. She writes a lot of bestiality and weird shit in her books.
Darkness clearly believes in a thing called love.
I believe in
I
a
was
thing
waiting
love.
For that this to happen at some heart. Point.
so stupid.
Can we talk about the fact that the one guy had to climb up that well? And they're like, yeah, I mean, there's some small handles. I'm like, when they first showed this shot going up, there was a chain that he could have climbed.
Nobody's smart in this. a chain might even be too much of a complex. I don't even know if they know about pulleys.
There's not a lot of the logic ain't logicking in a lot of this movie.
I also like that he made it all the way up and then was like, time for a nap.
I mean, that's what I do after I work out.
Did we want to get more into the fight? Because we kind of just...
I mean, other than the Iron Claw, it was just much real weird of a fight.
No. I mean, Jack wins and they blow darkness out the airlock.
I think darkness fell into darkness.
I think that... It would have been very...
They blew him out the airlock, just like they did with Alien. It was a very similar scene. Like, I would like to see those two scenes side by side. They're
just so you can see Sigourney Weaver's actual acting versus Tom Cruise's shit acting.
You know, it would have been better if Jack would have at least stabbed Darkness instead of, like, this really lucky throw.
I mean, that's... Yeah.
Like...
But he's not a fighter. We've already talked. He's not a good fighter. He's
a lover, not a fighter.
He's a swimmer. He's a diver.
Holy diver.
I almost went there.
How dare you even invoke Dio in relation to Tom Cruise?
Dio at least one point dressed up like Darkness in his life.
Well, Dio, there are people who believe that Dio created the devil horns.
The rock symbol.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me either. R.I.P.
Yeah. That reminds me. Well, I'll get to that later. It has nothing to do with this.
Okay, so we can chat after the podcast then.
But that's all I had except for, once again, that, like, the biggest problem is just pacing.
Well, so...
And it's just like...
We get a couple things that there.
It just drags a lot.
They go back to the unicorn corpse and they glue the fucking unicorn horn back onto the horse's head.
I didn't know they didn't just shove it in.
Because it was like broken.
It's magical. They did have to cut it. They just like put it on and it reattached itself.
And it made me ask this question. Since Darkness has been cast away and both unicorns are now back to life.
Yeah.
Does that mean, is it never night again? That just sounds awful.
Also, why is that other unicorn alive?
The one with the eyeliner?
Like, one was definitely dead, no?
Yeah, it was dead.
So why is it not dead?
Magic.
They put the horn back on it.
Yeah. It's a magic horn.
They reattached its horn.
Yeah. They used some Gorilla Glue.
It couldn't have just been alive without the horn?
No.
I think it loses its magic without the horn, and then when you reattach the horn, it gets its magic back. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not good.
We've already discussed how they don't really get enough into... There's not a lot of world building here. Lot of amazing, beautiful visuals,
a
lot of world building.
I like a movie that exists in almost darkness the entire time. Like that's... it doesn't always work. Dark City.
Mm-hmm. But, I like Dark City.
But I appreciate the visuals of this, even though I didn't understand why there was always shit in the air.
There was a lot of glitter.
So much glitter.
There was a lot of glitter and bubbles.
Glitter, petals, snow.
Yeah, the friggin' like John Woo petals.
Yeah, where were the doves, John?
They were in the pie.
Oh,
those were not doves.
And, yeah, and also, if it was pigeons. John Woo doves, they would have had to have been at least six.
Yeah.
This is one of those movies where I hate remakes, and I don't want to see it remade only because Tim Curry cannot reprise his role.
Yeah.
But this is one that I feel like Ridley Scott or like somebody who knows what the hell they're doing could remake this movie, flesh some of these parts out a little bit and make it really cool.
Denis Villeneuve.
That's who, yeah. Did
and Doom, he could do it too.
He could do this.
He would actually be very good.
Or even because...
Del Toro.
Yeah, I was about to say, because it does have a little bit of Pan's Labyrinth vibe
I think Guillermo del Toro could do a good job with this. I would feel like... I don't know. Tim Curry can't act at all anymore, right?
He does some voice stuff sometimes.
Does he do some voice stuff?
Oh, then he could probably still...
Just do the voice of
Darkness. Could he do the voice? Is there a way they could incorporate him? Because I would be really sad if he wasn't Darkness again.
I want Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Darkness, but Tim Curry's voice.
Interesting.
So are we just going to do our final
Dolph
thoughts?
Dolph Lundgren's body with Al Pacino's voice.
Dolph Lundgren's too old at this point.
Who cares? You just splatter him with red paint. What's the difference?
Darkness.
I mean,
you think that was really Tim Curry's body?
If we're only doing somebody that has to look imposing and Tim Curry is doing the majority of the acting, we could get what's his face, Bjornsson or Hathor or whatever,
yeah,
the mountain. Or the dude that played Jack Reacher. Like, we get just some big dude.
Yeah.
Fabio. Better hair.
That's true.
And then
Darkness doesn't have hair, and Fabio's old now.
Well, so is Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
So
is every person we've mentioned.
Are we at final notes then? Is that what we're doing?
I think so.
I'm fresh out. So
my final notes were a couple things. First, I just want more. Build the lore, build the characters, recast Jack. It honestly feels like the studio hacked at this. It's very un-Ridley Scott-like, in my opinion. And then I actually also looked up Ridley Scott's directing filmography.
Mm-hmm.
He directed Alien, Blade Runner, Thelma and Louise, Gladiator, Black Hawk Down, Matchstick Men, American Gangster, Prometheus, The Martian, and I would even put, like, these are all ones that I would put above this. I would also maybe put The Last Duel above this, and that's kind of close.
I'll be honest, you only named two movies that three that I would put above this.
Really? Which three?
Alien.
No.
No.
I actually do not like the original.
I just rewatched that recently, and it still holds up. It's amazing.
To be fair, I saw it in the theater for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and it was the director's cut. It was too fucking long, and
fair enough.
Well, I mean, there's slow burn, and then there's, you know, somewhere before the third act, we'll finally light the candle.
That's part of the reason that it feels so un-Ridley Scott-like to me, is because usually Ridley Scott takes too much time if it's a time issue. This felt like he just didn't spend time on it at all.
Well, I'm wondering, because it's a 90-minute film, because in this time, like, not much was more than 90 minutes. Like, two and a half hour, 3 hour movies, that is a very recent thing.
Right.
So I am wondering if, like, there, like you said, there was more to it, and the studio was like, nah, man, we got to keep this to 90 minutes.
Blade Runner would be the one obvious one that I'd put in front of this. But that's, again...
See, I didn't love Blade Runner.
It depends on the version you've seen.
Sure.
Because if you go by theatrical, it may not be that great if you go by... Like,
I like both versions. I'm not...
I mean, well, the version that takes out the voiceovers.
Okay.
Which was... I think his final cut.
Okay.
So that's the best one, but
okay,
it's hard to say, like, definitively what.
Okay.
So Blade Runner's one.
So
of
he's
three.
Had. He's
but
had
now we're debating Ridley Scott.
Gladiator.
Gladiator. Okay.
But also, Gladiator does not need to be 3 hours long.
No.
If you would have made that cut, I shaved a half an hour off of that. Great.
So what's the third one?
Maybe American Gangster.
And
that's because the performances are so good.
I would put Matchstick Men over most of them.
I haven't seen that.
Oh,
that is one of the list. I know, Nick. I know your Sam Rockwell love.
Sam Rockwell is one of the best actors ever.
I've seen Matchstick Men. I remember enjoying it, but I do not have a heart on it the way Nick does, because I don't really remember anything about it.
I also didn't realize how much I liked Ridley Scott's work, just in general.
I think his brother might be the better filmmaker.
Tony Scott?
He's made more movies I enjoy.
I mean, we actually...
And I'm not going to say they're better.
I don't know. I think Tony Scott was more hit or miss for me.
We actually studied, like, some of Ridley Scott's work when I got my degree in advertising, because, like, his IBM commercial was revolutionary at the time that came out.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. All right. So nobody else has final
IBM
notes?
IBM or Mac? I can't remember.
I gave you a page worth of notes.
I'm just saying, like, are we going to move on to the...
Yes. We've already talked about Ridley Scott for 5 minutes.
Okay. So are we going to do scores or favorite weirdo?
Let's do favorite weirdo first.
Mine's the guy that got shot in the head.
So I think that was Billy Barty.
I think it was.
My favorite is the one that I don't even know his real name, who played him, whatever, or that Pig Boy.
I knew you were going to say Pig Boy.
Come on. Pig Boy.
Pig Boy. So?
I'm going to go with Gump. He's the only, like, rational one in the whole movie.
I'm just, like, shirtless except for voice.
Except for the fact that, again, I know everything. Do you know what why this is happening? Well, if I knew that, then I'd be quite a wizard. Or you would just be a guy who backs up what he just said.
Oh, okay. So then now we're at the part that's going to make Amanda mad, I think.
I'm telling you, if you guys didn't like this movie, you're wrong. Dave at least seems to have enjoyed it.
I enjoy enough of it.
You've literally like agreed with most of our criticisms for this movie. So
yeah, and I still like the movie.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can find flaws.
Yes,
and stuff and
you
still
can.
Enjoy
I just you can't expect like high scores when we've been fairly.
I
critical.
Can because you can still enjoy the movie.
Can I
be
can
like,
enjoy it too. I'm not saying this movie's a two. Don't. I'm not giving
it
a two.
If I gave a movie a two, it's because I did not enjoy it.
I'm just saying, like, I would not give
anything
over...
Anything below a five, I didn't like
the I would movie. Not give Over the Top more than a five, but I loved the fuck out of that movie.
Yeah.
So...
Well, that's just acknowledging that you can like bad things.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing wrong
right.
with that. Like,
Everybody's
got... And you don't... It doesn't have to be a guilty pleasure. You
no,
don't have to
I'm
feel
like,
any guilt about it whatsoever.
I don't feel any
guilt
about...
I feel no
guilt
for liking this movie.
Oh, no,
great.
I mean, in general, if
over
you like something that objectively you know is terrible,
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with it.
Right, but you can still admit that it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying... I'm not putting this movie into terrible. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying
I'm
that...
I'm just giving right. context here.
So, I guess, since I've already built it up, I'll give my score first. I gave it 6.7 pixie sticks.
Well, that's not...
Pixie sticks because of the glitter.
Well, that's not bad. See that?
See, it's better than The Last Unicorn.
Oh my god, it's so much better.
But than it's Last not. Unicorn. It's not. It's not good. I wouldn't say it's good.
This movie's fucking great. It's wrong.
See, this is my point. You're like, yeah, it's no character development. No good plot. The writing's kind of weird, but it's great. It's a great fucking movie.
It is a great.
Well, sometimes
movie.
That's actually a criteria. I love Troma. I know they're terrible,
right.
but I love them.
Right.
Because someone needs to make them.
I have a friend,
yes,
like
I don't disagree with you.
An acquaintance friend, I use the term friend loosely, that keeps trying to get me involved with Troma, and like it just keeps not quite happening. Like he's like, hey, they're making a new movie, like you should totally audition. They're filming in New York in July,
they
and
only
I'm like,
film in New York.
I can't go to New York in July, even if I were to get cast for this movie.
They
but
only
that sounds awesome.
They only film in New York.
Yeah,
that's Tromaville.
But so then, yeah, but then he's like, "Oh, I think the main parts are paid," and I'm like, "I can't go to New York
without
for
any
an unpaid role
pay, yeah.
in July when I'm already performing somewhere out of state in June and have vacation planned in August, but." I like that he thought of me.
Nobody ever thinks of me. And I could be the next Toxic Avenger.
No, that's Peter Dinklage.
I would say Peter Dinklage is going to be the next Toxic Avenger.
You can be the next Sergeant Kabuki Man. He wears a mask. It doesn't matter.
I could be the next Darkness.
No, you can't.
Wow.
I mean, I guess we're going to go work out later. Maybe you can work on it.
You've got a better chin.
You could be the next Pig Boy. Or you could be the next Gump. Forrest or otherwise.
You know what? I would totally play any Gump.
Any Gump?
You'd be a terrible Bubba.
So I gave my score.
You'd mm-hmm. be a terrible Bubba.
Be a good Lieutenant
Dan,
though.
I'm not going to decimal it. No, I will. Because it's definitely more than what I originally wanted to do. I will give it 5.75 red hots. Or hot tamales.
You stole my candy.
Because of darkness?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, that was pretty obvious.
It can be a big gumdrop.
All right, I'm going to give it 7, and now I have to change candy.
No, you don't.
You give it 7. I gave it 6.7. You gave me shit, and you're giving it 7.
Well, you acted like you were gonna like, blah, blah, blah. But still, below a 7 is failing. And
no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Below 70% is
no,
failing.
Below
60. So that's a D. Below 60%.
You
is
and
failing.
I had different grading scales growing up.
Yeah, we had the one that
no,
went
I,
by math.
Yeah, what were you in communist Russia?
I
what,
was
did you
in
get smiley faces and
Illinois.
And frowns?
Our grading scale was 93. was 93, 85, 74. I don't remember what it was, but it was very different. It was the 90, 80, 70, 60 when I went to college, but in school it was a lot harder to get an A.
Your school was weird.
We were on a 5-point grading scale.
Your school made as much sense as this movie.
Hey, man, I got a lot better education than a lot of people did, though.
So you give it a 7.
I give it a 7. I'm going to go with the Boston baked beans, the little burnt peanut things.
Okay. There you go.
There we go.
That's Legend.
That might be more appropriate, really.
Episode 10.
I think he really is more of a baked bean.
Yeah. A baked bean.
Barbecue.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
I mean, the British do love their beans on toast, so. Yeah,
those are in tomato sauce.
Well, yeah, that's pork and beans on toast.
But it's tomato sauce. It's not like a barbecue sauce.
No. Yeah, it's not Bush's beans. It's that old...
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
It's that crap in the tomato sauce that tastes like nothing.
I've never actually had those.
With the gelatinous blob that they're calling pork.
So, who's picking our next movie?
Davis.
Yeah.
Now that we're done with episode 10.
Episode 10.
10.
We should have done something special.
What to do?
We just did.
Oh, because I said burr, burr, burr.
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, you haven't picked?
No.
David.
Oh, damn it, Dave.
There's so many options.
There are lots of options.
I want to get out of the 80s.
We've been stuck in the 80s quite a bit.
The only question is, do I go further back or forward?
There's something I wanted to add to the list the other day, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I won't pick something with a unicorn.
Well, something my husband and I were watching, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I should add this to the list. I wonder if, you know, Dave and Nick have seen it, and I can't remember what it was now.
Was it History of the World, Part 1?
No. But I have at least seen most of Blazing Saddles now. So you can't pick it.
I can't because Dave hasn't seen it.
Oh, Dave hasn't seen it.
What?
Blazing Saddles. Seen it. Oh, fuck. Damn.
And I didn't realize. I just found out I read the other day that it was it had a nomination for Best Song.
Did it? I mean, Madeline Kahn got nominated for an Oscar for Blazing Saddles.
No, I know. I happened to be looking at the Best Song.
Oh, yeah. It's probably the same scene.
Probably.
Oh, God. I don't want to pick anything long either. Because
well, hey, yeah, at least my movies that you guys hated were both 90-minute movies. So. Well,
no, this was an hour 50.
I thought it said it was like 90 minutes.
Hour 47.
Oh, well, sorry.
And mind you, I didn't get the scroll at the beginning.
Yeah, weird.
Just over 90 minutes then. I'm so
Apocalypse
sorry.
Now! No.
I mean, I've seen it.
I 2.5 hours.
Amanda will yell at you at the end of that movie. Be like, Dave, what the fuck did you make me watch?
I'll just make him watch E.T.
I mean, that's probably going to happen.
That one is in my back pocket if y'all piss me off.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen E.T. It's not going to piss
Dave
me off.
Yeah, Dave hasn't.
I know.
Yeah, it would piss me off.
We could just do like a whole like 10 or, well,
you guys already made me watch Kubrick and Lynch. Okay.
Oh, we are just getting started.
I'm giving you softballs with these kids' movies.
I have not given you Kurosawa yet, so take it easy.
Well, thankfully, no one's done De Palma.
I don't like De Palma.
Dave, pick a movie. Or Carpenter. Our listeners, listeners have tuned out.
Fine. We are going to do... My eyes got very big, I know. You know, let's go recent. We're going to... Let's head to Korea, and we're going to do Parasite.
Oh, awesome. I'm excited about that. I want to see that.
Oh, you're the one who hasn't seen
it. Yeah, I have not seen Parasite, and it's been on my list, so
yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah, I want to watch something legit good and not like, not really, it's not confusing. It's layered, but it's not.
It was interesting to me because it was marketed as a horror.
Yeah.
So I was expecting like Korean horror, because
yeah, like
they're horror
shit.
Masters. Right. And then I got this movie, which I guess falls into the horror category, but is not.
It's a lot of things.
Thriller. I don't know, but I think you'll like it. Nick, I did
I'm
enjoy the movie.
It's a very well-rounded picture. Like it's good. Got a lot of stuff going, or a lot of different tones, and done by a modern master, Bong Joon-ho.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he also do Is it? Did he Snowpiercer?
He did Snowpiercer.
Okay. I liked Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer was his.
I just thought Snowpiercer was okay.
It's not as good. Like well,
I'm not saying it's a great film. I just enjoyed it.
I like the show Snowpiercer more weirdly.
The show Snowpiercer. Why is that so hard to say? Still can't say it. The show Snowpiercer. Wow, that
you're gonna go sell seashells.
She sells seashells, I can say, but for some reason, the show Snowpiercer. My brain could not wrap its brain around
that. But, like, look, there's always
I liked the show better than the movie, even though the show doesn't have Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Or Chris Evans.
Well, you know, as much as I like looking at Chris Evans, he's not, like, the be-all, end-all of actors, so.
No, but he's enjoyable. I enjoyed him as Johnny Storm. That was maybe one of the highlights of those not great movies.
I can think of one.
Shall we wrap it up, guys? Because now we're just shooting the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't that what we always do?
Oh, yeah. Wait. You know what? I'm just going to say this. We did lose a true legend this week. Actually, yesterday. Totally unrelated to the show, but I wanted to put it out there into the world that we lost Steve Albini, the preeminent record engineer of all sorts of noise, and he was a big fixture in Chicago music for a long time, and being as that's where we are, dude has made some of the greatest records ever. Surfer Rosa from the Pixies, Nirvana in Utero, PJ Harvey, Rid of Me, and it's and it was just a sad thing I heard about today that I wanted to just
get
off my chest. Yeah, that's today's sky point.
Okay.
Fair enough. Totally understand that.
But it's only because it's legend and
legends.
But thankfully, Tim Curry's still with us, in albeit in a diminished capacity.
And if you act like he's gone already, he will ridicule you on Twitter.
I was gonna say as much as I dislike Twitter X, whatever you want to call it, he is active on there and he's delightful. Do you not follow him?
I don't really go on Twitter.
Oh, you used to.
It's a cesspit.
Well, sometimes I go on there to hit and run like everyone else.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I usually like to throw a shot at Jim Jordan first thing in the morning and then go about the rest of my day.
Fair enough.
So this has been episode 10.
Episode 10 of Films Like the First Time.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening. You can rate and review us on iTunes. If you want to shoot us a message, you can message us on Facebook. Look for Films Like the First Time. Or you can email us at memoriamdevelopment@gmail.com.
Oh, are we addressing well, this was a listener issue that was brought to my attention.
Oh,
The theme.
Oh, you don't want the theme to be as long as it is?
Yeah, it does not need to be 75 seconds.
I feel like it.
I don't even know what our theme is, but when Dave told me it was 75 seconds, I was like, that is 45 seconds too long.
One.
Easy.
Two.
It should be
Nick, stop it.
It should be 15 four, seconds five, and faded. Six, look, we're done.
Seven. I don't want to fade it. I wanted it abrupt. I did that on purpose. The abrupt.
That's fine. Make it shorter.
Fine, and throw a record scratch at the end of it or something.
Wow, you're rude. All right, well, thank you so much for listening.
Nobody wants to sit through a minute of theme.
We're sitting here talking about the theme instead of closing out the show, but thank you so much for listening. I'm Nick.
I'm Amanda. That was Dave, who has walked away from the table.
Bye.
Memoriam Development.